We're going to talk about some of the stuff you just saw in that video in just a minute, but if you got a Bible, turn it to 1 Samuel chapter 10. If you are somebody, I'm being honest, you guys, if you're going, hey man, I don't navigate the Bible that much, I mean, it's a pretty big book, and if you can navigate it pretty fast, you might be able to keep up today. I'm being honest with you that we're going through a lot of different passages today. So if you have notes and you're going, you know what, I'm a note taker, I can do that. Or even if you're not normally a note taker, maybe you just want to write down the passages that we talk about and then be able to look at it later if you're going, oh, it's hard for me to just try to find it and look up. What frustrates me a lot is when I'm looking for a passage or place in the Bible, I get to it, and right when I get to it is when the guy up on stage finishes talking about what he was talking about. That makes sense? So I don't want to frustrate you because that could happen today. So I'm just letting you know that you might want to go, you know what, I'm just going to write down these passages, listen, and then I'm going to check it later and kind of read it for myself. But if you can keep up, that's great too. Deal? Okay, good. So if you're going, what passage would I go to if I'm not going to be moving along all over the place, go to Romans chapter 6. If you're like, hey, we're going to end up there and spend the most time there, but that would be what I would do. I would go to Romans chapter 6. So the question tonight, this is kind of, it's kind of a deep question, but it really is this: what's your identity? What's your identity? And it's, I don't know if I would actually say, who are you, as much as I would say, what are you? Like, what are you? What defines you? And it may be if I even asked that, and you just started writing down, and just finishing the sentence, and maybe you could write it a couple different ways, you know, I am a what? Just think about it, I am a what? As I thought about it, even today, I just thought about it. I thought, well, how would I kind of answer that and things that about my life? And I go, oh, I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm an American. I'm a chess player. I'm a dungeon master. But you know what I'm saying? Like, when you think of the things that would define you, it doesn't have to be just one thing. You just go, I'm a what? Like, it could be a number of things, but what would that be? And I started looking at some of those things. I even go, well, I'm a man. That's my gender. You know, what are those things about me that I would say this defines me? You might say I'm a student. Some of you guys, maybe I'm a basketball player. I'm a whatever. Whatever it is, you go, if there's things about you that you go, this defines me, this tells me like what my identity is. And I noticed that a lot of the things that I was thinking of are like outwardly what people would see around me, this outward appearance, what I do, what I look like, maybe how I talk, whatever it is. But it's a lot of my identity is that. And maybe you might notice that too. And I thought, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I thought about this video, maybe just kind of go back there, and as you saw, I don't know if you're thinking about what Saul was kind of struggling through, but I think if we told Saul to do this exercise, I think one of the first things, if not the top thing, maybe even the only thing he would write down is, I am a king. You guys, I told you, that's what I thought too. I thought, that's what it is. His identity is, man, I am the king. I am a king. He's even said it a couple times. You see this idea. And what's happening? The reason why he is like, and you're going to see, everything's going to start unraveling in him because his identity is being stripped away. Do you see it? And maybe that's happened to you too. If you put all your stake, maybe you've even gone, man, I used to be this and now I've lost it and it's hard, you know. Maybe you can even look on the list. What if one of those things you wrote down that identifies you, what if it was taken away? What if it was different? What if it was stolen from you? I start understanding that. And I go, that's what he was thinking. I'm a king. But you know what? A king was what his job was. And yet that's how we identify ourselves a lot. I said one of the things I identify myself as what? I'm a pastor. That's my job. That's not my identity. See, what's weird is that our identity, this is crazy. Most people write their identity connected with some way how they live, what they do. And that's not your identity. That's not what God wanted Saul to see his identity as. And yet that's what we connect ourselves as. Do you know how much, this is so weird, how much we connect our identity with something that we do outwardly, even how we look. I mean, seriously, how someone looks gives people the idea of what their identity is. How many times have you seen how somebody is just dressed? You've seen how they're dressed, and you immediately go, oh, they must be a, and fill in the blank. Just fill in the blank. About how somebody looks, we decide what their identity is. People wear sports jerseys to say, this is who I am. I'm a Dodger, which I'm glad I'm not, but thank you. Anyway, see, there you go. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. But you know what? Honestly, but that's not really your identity. You're identifying with them, but you're an A. Okay, got it. You're an athletic. Do you see, like, we really put a lot into it. Like, we identify with even the way we're dressed. We even decide to look a certain way so other people will identify us with a certain group, with a certain thing, with a certain identity. Have you noticed that? So we do. And you know what? That hasn't been just happening in our generation. That's happened for all time. Back all the way, way back here, thousands of years ago in 1 Samuel, people honestly looked at people and identified them with how they looked, with how they dressed, with what they looked like, sounded like, talked like. Something in their outward appearance told you what they were. They struggled with it back then. In fact, even Samuel, who you look at in this, you know, the Selah character, you know, Samuel, prophet of God. Do you know that Samuel actually struggled with understanding how to really identify somebody else, their identity? He was even looking at outward appearances for identity. Even Samuel struggled with it, that God had to correct him. Let me show you. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, we're just going to look at the end of the chapter. Or if you're just listening, I'll just tell you, this is what it says. And this is when Saul was actually made king. This goes all the way back to when he was made king. And they were looking for Saul at this time. If you remember, like, the first drama we saw, you know, he's kind of hiding, he's out of the way, and then suddenly he's like, oh, this is going to be your king. And that's kind of what happened. He was actually hiding when they were looking for him. Hey, you know what? It's going to be Saul. Where is he? Oh, he's hiding. And like God told Samuel, he's hiding behind those buckets over there or whatever, you know. He's hiding over there. So they bring him out. And it says in verse 23 of 1 Samuel 10, listen to this. They ran and brought him out. And as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Why in the world does it write down how stinking tall he is? What does it matter? It mattered a lot. He was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people. What was he talking about? His character? His smile? What was he talking about? His height. Hey, look, he's going to be a great king. He's really tall. Like, what? But that's what they looked at, you guys. Wow. And you know what? They did see people. It's like, wow, he's a really big person. He must have a lot of strength because he's big. And they kind of connected that with, like, inner strength. They connected that with all kinds of stuff because of how somebody looked. Later on, if you want to turn some pages or if you want to write it down, 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, Samuel is now going to David, which you saw a little bit of that in the video where Selah was putting the crown on the kid's head, you know, that represents David. And now David is now being chosen to be king. But look what happens. Actually, Samuel goes, it didn't happen the way it did in the video. Samuel goes to this guy's house, this guy's named Jesse's house, and says, hey, one of your sons, God just told me that one of your sons is going to be king. I don't know which one, but could you get your sons in here? And he lines up all of his sons, and actually he leaves David out. David's like in the field. He's like the runt. He's like the guy that even the dad was saying, oh, it must not be him. And all these people are lined up. And then Samuel sees, it looks like it's the oldest son. And it says in verse 6 of chapter 16, when they arrived, when all these sons arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Only by the way that he looked. He looks like he could be a king. And then God hit Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Who do you think God is kind of referring to? Not only Elijah, but also who? Saul. Doesn't matter how tall Saul was. That's not what made him. He goes, man, that's not it. He goes, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. That's huge. God doesn't see people the way we see people. Man looks at the outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. Totally different. How many things did you write down that's your identity of who you are, what you are, that's based on your heart? Most of the time when we ask people to do this, and you're just thinking about your identity, it's based on what we do. It's based on how we live. It's based on what our interests are. It's based on what, it's not like, what do you mean, our heart? See, guys, your identity has nothing to do with what you do. What? What you are isn't your lifestyle. What you are is not what the culture around you is molding you to look like. And it is. It's trying its best to mold you into something. That's not you. Your identity is not what all your friends think you are. Your identity is not what social media has crafted you to be. Your identity is not even what you are trying to craft yourself to be. Your identity isn't even what you feel like or think you are. That's not your identity. Your identity is what God says you are. Wow. Let that sink in. Your identity is what God thinks you are. Your identity is what God has made you to be. Not any of these other things. Your identity is how God sees your heart. And I say all of that to say this, that for some of us, our identities have changed since yesterday. How many of you last night made a decision to hand your life over to Jesus Christ? Anybody do that last night? Wow. You guys, you are not the same person that you were yesterday. What's really tough for some people go, oh, I feel different. But you know, honestly, I'm just telling you for the people who go, I made a decision last night and there was no lightning. There was no, you know, I know what I'm doing. I handed my life over to Jesus, but I don't feel any different. I'm not doing anything and my life really hasn't changed. I mean, there hasn't been even a time for that. Your identity is not based on what you do, not based on your lifestyle, not based on how you feel, not based on any of that. It's based on what God has made you. And God, when it talks about the heart, God looks at the heart. Every single one of us that accepted Jesus last night or any other time, the moment that you handed your life over to Jesus, he changed your heart. In Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, it says that without God, we have hearts of stone. But God comes in when we decide to go into relationship with him. He takes out our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. In other words, a beating, real, living heart. But we had a dead heart before. That's how God looked at it. Our hearts are different. That means you're different. Something has changed. You know, when you handed your life over to Jesus, I think a lot of people are like, hey, you know what? I gave my life to him. Now I'm forgiven, which is so true. But you have been much more than just forgiven. Way more than that. You ever heard the term born again? You're going, oh yeah, I've heard that. You know why we use that term? Because it's true. You have been born all over again. Some of you are one day old with a brand new, totally different life. That's not based on what you've done. It's not based on your lifestyle. It's not based on what you think or how you feel. It's based on what God has made you to be because you handed your life over to Jesus. What is it? And first of all, I just want to make sure we know it's not what we used to be. It is something different. Let me just read to you from a book in, it's 1 Corinthians. Let me just read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you want to write it down, verses 9 through 11, and if you want to write it down, it's great. This is, Paul is writing to this Corinthian church, which is really messed up, by the way. This church is so messed up. They are actually living a lifestyle that's different than who they are. They're not acting like who they are. And so Paul is writing to him in the middle of this thing. He says these incredible words. He goes, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?" If that's your identity, then that person doesn't inherit the kingdom of God. They're on the outside. He goes, "Don't be deceived." Listen to this. He says, "Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Those are all different lifestyles. Would you agree with that? All different lifestyles. He says, man, if that's really your identity, if that's really who you are not in. But he doesn't say, the next sentence he goes, and that's what some of you guys are, so good luck. He doesn't say that, but listen to this. That's how some of them were living, by the way. It's how some of them were still living. And he says in verse 11, he goes, and that is what some of you were. That's an incredible word. That life that you had, that life that you were living, that you identified with, that's what you were, because your identity is way deeper than your lifestyle. It is not that anymore. That's what you were. He goes, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit has come into your life, and he's given you a new life. Every single one of you that decided to follow Jesus last night, the Holy Spirit himself came inside of you and is now living inside of you. And he's given you a new identity. He's made you a different person. You're not who you were. And who you are isn't connected with a lifestyle. Your lifestyle doesn't determine who you are. The sanctifying and the washing and the justification and the work of the Holy Spirit and what God has done in your life, that's what's determining who you are. I love this in 1 John 3:1. Write it down. 1 John 3:1. It's a great passage. It says this, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." Those of us who have decided to follow Jesus, how great the love of the Father has lavished on us, poured out on us, that we should be called children of God. And the next line says, and that is what we are. We're who God says we are. And God doesn't tell us something that we are that we aren't. That makes sense. Like, if God says, you are a saint, you go, oh, those are nice. That's nice, God. You're trying to be nice to me, aren't you? Because you know that I'm not. He's not lying. What he says you are is what you are. Doesn't necessarily mean you act like what you are, which some of us go, yeah, I get that. Right? But we start doing this. We start saying, I don't act like that. I act like this. So I must not be that. I must be this instead. Do you see how we connected our identity with what we do? What you do is not your identity. And what you do might not line up with your identity. But what God says you are and what God made you to be is your identity. And that won't change.
If you hand your life over to Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. He has adopted you and he will not unadopt you. You're a child of God. That's what he calls you and that's what you are. Jesus said, we're lights in this world. That's what we are. We're a light in this world. I used to be a slave of sin. So did you. But that's not what you are anymore. You know what we are? We're slaves of God. We're slaves of righteousness. That's what you are. How did that happen? Now go to Romans chapter 6. Maybe you guys have been on that. Romans 6. I love this passage because it tells us again who we are and this change that's happened to us. And this happened to everybody last night in the moment that you decided to hand your life over to Jesus, for all the rest of us when we had handed our life over to Jesus. And I'll just pick it up with verse 4. I'll do verse 3. It says, or don't you know? In verse 3 of chapter 6, Romans 6, or don't you know? The reason why he starts out with that is because some of these people in the book, in the Roman church, they didn't know who they were. They didn't know. They thought they were something else. They thought that they were the same people they always were, but just forgiven. I'm still a slave of sin. I can't do anything about that, but at least God forgives me. So they were still living because they thought they were slaves of sin. Guess how they were living? Like what? Like slaves of sin. And just going, well, sure is good that God forgives us. Now, Paul actually finishes up in chapter 5 and says, hey, by the way, you're right. God will forgive you. God's grace will always abound way more than the sin that you commit. But then in chapter 6, he says, but why are you living this way? It's not who you are. It's not matching your identity. And then like something happens with Paul in his head. I think he goes, wait a second, maybe you don't know who you are. And that's why he says, or don't you know? And he says, don't you know what happened to you? Look at verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, that word baptized, we think of baptism, you guys. The word baptized means to be placed into. It says, all of us that have been placed into Jesus Christ, which happens when we decide to accept him and follow him, were placed into his death. We were therefore buried with him through being placed into his death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You have a new life. I have a new life. He goes on and says how it happened. Look what it says in verse 5. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self, who we used to be, was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Guys, here's basically what he's saying here. Do you understand that when you decided to hand your life over to Jesus, something happened to you? You know that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead, right? Do you know that you also died and was buried and rose from the dead? That's what happened to you. The same thing happened to you. In the moment that you hand your life over to Jesus Christ, and God says, you are now with me, he looks at every single one of us and says, okay, we got some work to do. And some of us are going, yeah, I got that. Accepts us exactly how we are. And then says, okay, now let me go to work. And what's crazy is that God did not just make you better. He didn't just make a better you. He didn't just make a cleaned up you. He didn't just make a more polished you. He went, you know what? Let's just start all over. And I love you so much that I'm going to kill you. That doesn't sound great. But he goes, no, seriously. Seriously, you need to die. The old person that you were, let's not even work with that. Let's not try to make that better. Let's make a completely new you. And so he put every single one of us to death. And we were buried. And that same God that has the power to raise Jesus from the dead raised you from the dead. And raised me from the dead in that moment as a completely new person. The reason why that had to be, you guys, is before that, God looked at us and said, hold it, you're a slave of sin. And this slavery is a slavery for life. It's being a slave for life. If I am a slave to a master for life, there's only two ways I can get out of that relationship. Can you think of them? One is that the master dies. Right? I'm a slave to this master for life. That means if the master dies, I'm free. That sounds like a whole lot better than the second option. Because there is another way I can get out of it. And that is if who dies? Me. Now I'm out of this relationship. This is what's so crazy, is that God looked at my relationship with sin and your relationship with sin and said, you know what? I know one option could be that I kill sin. We go, that sounds great. He goes, but actually, I know this sounds weird. The better option is that I kill you. I'll put you to death. I'll bury you, and I'll raise you as a completely new person. I'm over here as a slave of sin. He kills me. I'm buried. I raise up as a new person, and now he goes, now you have another relationship. Now you can be a slave of God for life. I think there's reasons why he didn't do away with sin, because sin is still alive and well. Would you guys agree with that? Sin is still just as powerful as it ever was. Remember, it's the second most powerful thing in the universe. Still as powerful as it ever was. We'll talk about that as we keep going through this week. But he didn't do anything with sin yet. He will one day. But he did do something with you to get you out of that relationship. And now, you guys, we are new people. And now my identity is not a slave of sin. My identity is a slave of God. And it's a different kind of relationship. That's what he says here. Because in verse 7, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin, that lifelong relationship. Now, look at verse 8. Now, if I died with Christ, which we have, we believe that we will also live with him, which we do. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Do you understand? How many times does he say here, like, how many times did Jesus die? How many times? Once. Once for all. The death he died, he won't die again. Is Jesus going to have to, when we sin the next time, is Jesus going to have to come down and say, okay, now I need to die for your sins again? He died for your sins for all time. One time, that's it. Look at the next sentence says, it says in verse 11, in the same way count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. How many times have we died? Once. That thing only happened once. So this is what happens sometimes. I think sometimes I'm going, wow, I'm a slave of God. And then sin comes along and I go, and I sin. And I think, oh man, I must be a slave of sin again. Sorry. I hope I can get out of this again. God's going, you're never a slave of sin again. The death you died is once for all. The life that you now live for God is once for all. That's who you are. That will never change. You are never going to be a slave of sin, even if you act like it. It's not who you are. You're a slave of God, slave of righteousness. If you keep on going, later on, I love this, where he says in verse 22 of the same chapter, I love verse 17. Look at this. Verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves of sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching in which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to what? Righteousness. That's all past. It's done. Doesn't happen again. It's who you are. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. It's who you are. What we think who we are has everything to do with how we live. How I live does not determine who I am. Are you getting that? But who I am determines how I live. What I think I am will have a profound effect on how I live, on what I say and what I do and how I think and how I live. Are you seeing that? I think the problem is for some of us, we came to camp and we're here and stuff and we're going, I know I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm not acting like it. What's the problem? For some of us, not all of us, we'll go through a couple other things the next couple nights, but for some of us, it might be a foundational identity problem. You still think you're a slave of sin. In fact, you refer yourself to that way, well, I am as a sinner. You know, it's a good thing God forgives me. And I understand why you think that way, because it's how you're acting. But you just strip that away for a second and say, hold it, how I'm acting might not be saying what I am. It might be lying to me. What if I really am a slave of God? What if I really am a child of God? And I'm a slave of righteousness, and I'm just not acting like that? It changes everything, you guys. Some of you needed to just hear that. Let me give you an example how it changes everything. Let's say that I was a dog. Let's just say that. I used to be a dog. And then God came along one day, or somebody came along and just gave me the little magic wand thing and suddenly turned me into a human being. Now, if I don't believe, and they say, you're a human being. Hey, that's what you are. You know who you are. And I go, no, I don't think that's true. That doesn't sound right. That's not how I've always lived. I've never lived as a human being. I think I'm still a dog. Do you see how that's going to determine how I act? Yes, you guys are going, yeah. I mean, I'm going to get down all fours. I can't walk on 2 feet. I need all fours. You know what? Alpo. Give me some Alpo. I want to just eat that. Dog food. I love chasing cats. That's what I do. Where's a fire hydrant? You know, I'm just going to check out and see what, that's what I'm going to do. There's a mailman. Okay, I'm going to chase him. You know, that's what I do. I'm going to bark. I'm not going to talk. I'm going to bark. If I believe that I haven't been changed, I will continue to act. It's guaranteed I will act like the way I was. Guaranteed. If I actually believe what I really am, then at least there's a chance that my life will begin to change. It begins with that. Let me ask you this. I'm a human being. I get on fours. I act like a dog all day long. Do I ever become a dog? No, I just look stupid. Right? I just look weird. Now, when I was a dog and I acted like a dog, did that look weird? No. But I'm not that anymore. So I'm getting down. It's like, this is weird now. And it even feels weird for me. Because even though I'm acting like a dog, I don't act like I used to. It's different. You guys, that's what happened to you. You've been changed, but some of us in this room, we still think we're dogs. You're not. We still think we're slaves of sin. You're not. You're just not. That person's dead and gone. You might act like it. You might feel like it. You might even live like it, and you can do it all day long, but that is not who you are. You just look stupid. I'm being honest. That looks dumb for us now. I've always said this is so weird. A follower of Jesus, a non-follower of Jesus who sins, totally normal. Follower of Jesus who sins, not normal. Maybe it's an identity problem. Follower of Jesus who sins is insane. It's a moment, a temporary lapse of sanity. That makes sense? In some way, somehow, I'm just not being who I am now created to be, and there's something missing. Maybe it's because I haven't really hung on to my identity, who I am now. I think I'm just like everybody else still. But you're not. What if, you guys, what if we stop believing what we used to be? What if we start believing that I'm a child of God, that I'm a slave of righteousness, that I am a slave of God, that I am a light in this world? Jesus actually said to his disciples, you are lights in this world, so let your light shine. You got to believe who you are first before you're going to start acting like what you are. I'm going to believe that. What if all the other things that you wrote down on that paper, I am a, what if before that you write down things that God actually says you are? And so maybe the next time that you go on the basketball court, do you see how this could change everything? That you're not going on the basketball court saying, I'm a basketball player. You're going on the basketball court saying, I'm a child of God who happens to be playing basketball. Does that make sense? I just saw you go, whoa. I'm a football player. You know what? No, you're not a football player. You're a slave of God who's playing football. If only King Saul would have said, I'm not a king. I'm a slave of righteousness who happens to be a king. Guys, I don't want to ask myself, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go into this. What would a husband do here? Because I can look at all kinds of husbands, and they might be doing all kinds of things. But if I said, you know what? Hold it. What would a light in this world do who happens to be a husband? What would that person do? Even with my gender, what would a guy do? What would a guy do? What would a child of God do who happens to be a guy? What if I'd say all of those things? I'm a slave of righteousness that happens to look this way. So that way you don't go, what would somebody do who looks this way? You would say, what would a child of God do, regardless if they look this way or not? What would the other guys on the football team do? Because I'm part of the football team. No, you're a child of God. And the guys on the football team would do this in the locker room, or they would do this after the game. But you're going, I'm a child of God first. That's what I am. It's going to change stuff, guys. And when you start remembering who you are, what you really are, what God says you are, not what social media says you are, not what the culture says you are, not what your friends say you are, not even what you say you are. When you start really believing what God says you really are now, a completely new person, it will change what you do, what you say, how you think, and how you live. And you begin to learn to match up all those things with who you really are. And that's the process that we're all going to go through. And we just slowly start becoming outwardly what we are inwardly, rather than trying to become something outwardly and thinking that's making us something inwardly. Turn it around. Let me pray for us. Lord, thanks again for this reminder in your word, that we would continue to dig in your word. I only covered probably three or four things that you say we are right now. God, that maybe we would just say, God, what do you say I am? And then we would start lining up what we do, what we say, how we live, what we think. Just start lining up with what you say we are. And God, that we would see we're not the same person we used to be. For some of us, we are one day old into a new identity, that we would just start learning now what that looks like. God, I know some of us are going to be tempted to do and be like we used to be because there's habits. It's tough. But God, that you would encourage us and just take us through a process. It might be a slow one, but that we'd be encouraged and not lose patience with you, because we know you're not losing patience with us as we learn. Just start learning what this new identity is. But we'd start believing you and not everybody else, and not even ourselves. But we start believing you. In your name, amen.